Charles Woodson, Desmond Howard, Denard Robinson, Timanga Biakabatuka, from Yost to Harbaugh, passed down from generation to generation, Michigan football has stood the test of time. What's that feeling you get when you catch your first glimpse of the big house? When you hear, "And take the field." When you see the team emerge from the tunnel, sprint across the field, and touch that famed M-Go Blue banner. Saturdays in the fall, tailgates with friends and family, favorite players, favorite teams, and unforgettable moments. A lifetime of memories. College football in 2020 may be unique, but it has arrived at the corner of Stadium and Main, which is where you can find Michael Spath and Justin Rowe sharing their analysis, their stories, and their emotions about this year's Wolverine. This is the Stadium and Main podcast, presented by Kapnick Insurance Group, Wolverine State Brewing Company, and Lewis Jewelers.
Welcome to the Stadium and Main podcast. I am Justin Rowe, and I am joined today by my co-host Michael Spath. And Mike, holy smokes, what is it? Was it a day for Michigan football? And I'm not saying that in the positive sense. So it was just a wild day with news all over the place. Obviously, the big news of the day is that the Michigan-Ohio State game is canceled. And then there were some other things happening in terms of press conferences with Jim Harbaugh and Ward Manuel that we'll get into later in the podcast as well. But yeah, I wanted to get a pulse check from you right now first, Mike, with the news that the game is now not being played.
Well, I'm disappointed. I'll start there. Certainly my entire life, I'm 40 years old. There's never been a situation that's ever occurred before in which the Michigan-Ohio State game was even postponed. By a couple of days, delayed by a couple of days. The game is college football. College football is the game. And whether or not Michigan was in a bad position, just even if they were healthy, they're a 30-point underdog. They're probably going to lose by 30 points or more. That's not something you're necessarily looking forward to as a fan. But to play Ohio State every year, to see these two teams clash, it's just really frustrating, disappointing. It's 2020. It's a COVID year. It's the global pandemic. It's everything that's happened this year. And this is just a little bit, whatever euphemism, whatever cliche, kicking the balls, the kicking the teeth, the coal in your stocking, whatever it is, it really sucks. And I feel bad for all those players and coaches that are invested. I feel bad for the fans, that are certainly invested. I look at how this happened, and one of the big questions, Justin, is how it happened. And, I am 100% not arguing that Michigan waved the white flag or that they are inflating COVID numbers. Like, that type of talk to me is out of bounds. I think Michigan has legit COVID numbers. I think Michigan is in a position where they're going to be handcuffed by their COVID numbers. But my question would be this, is how did a program that was, so locked in, had the best protocols in place, end up with a massive outbreak that led to the cancellation of two games? And the best theory that I have heard and the best that I, everything I've been told is that after that Penn State game, the players, they're 2-4, they kind of just threw up their hands and said, you know what? We have been so careful, but what is this all about anymore? And they let their guard down, and they just kind of – when you've got a team that's got something to play for, when they have a Big Ten championship to play for, when they've got a chance to beat Ohio State to play for, it's a lot easier to pay attention to protocols and stick to everything and be selfless and give up family time and give up, social time. When you have nothing to play for and you don't believe in your coaching staff anymore and you've lost trust, it's very easy to stray from what you need to do to be successful and to put this game on. And so I think that's why we find ourselves in the situation we are in today.
Yeah, I think that in a lot of people's eyes, it is convenient timing, right? Right before the last couple games of the year, where you know you have Ohio State on the schedule and you know that you're going to go into that game a big underdog, and a lot of people would say that they'd rather not play that game and not get embarrassed on national TV. And so when Kirk Herbstreit went on and, you know, put that narrative into the universe, it took some it had some legs. And so, and I understand why it had some legs, but also when I completely agree with you, when you look at it from a program perspective, Michigan is not has never been a program to shy away from anything. This is a deep historic program that has always wanted to play football and always wanted to win. And so I go on Twitter and I see Hunter Reynolds, I see Donovan Jeter, I see all these guys saying that they are so bummed. And the fact that they're that people are saying that they're trying to duck the Buckeyes is just ridiculous. So these kids wanted to play, and I am still confident, whether you want to believe it or not, if you think Jim Harbaugh is not, you know, in it as much as he once was, Jim Harbaugh is as competitive as they come. And I don't think Jim Harbaugh is anywhere, is still, even in 2020, going to be, you know, trying to duck the Michigan-Ohio State game, a game that he's played in, he knows, he's coached in. He probably has more hatred for them than he has for anybody in the world. So why would he try to duck that game? And so I think that whole narrative is just – it's something just that fans and some media want to cling to because it's a headline. It's something that will get clicks. It'll get the Ohio State fan base riled up and things like that. And you know what? Guess what? I can almost guarantee you that Ohio State's still going to get into the Big Ten title game. They're still going to get into the college football playoff. Even Ward Manuel in his press conference today, so he made a statement that he didn't even need to make and said he thinks that Ohio State is one of the best four teams in the country and they deserve a spot in the Big Ten title game and a spot in the national college football playoffs. So it's not like Michigan's trying to screw their season and do all these things that the fan bases and national media and stuff have really, you know, put out there now. So yeah, it's just kind of a crazy times of course, in the middle of all this, and then in the middle of the contract talks as well.
I'm curious. We've got a special guest with us. We'll get to talking about his business in just a few minutes. A guy that I've known for, and I feel like it's, you know, probably 5 or 6 years now, Roger Burnett, who runs Social Good Promotions. Big Michigan fan. We actually kind of connected over Michigan hockey. His son is a Division III hockey player. And Roger, not to date you, but you're a little bit older than me, not by much. But I bet you kind of feel similarly. Your entire life, Michigan, Ohio State have played football, usually on the last Saturday of November. Here we are in December. But, you know, how strange is this for you to hear the news that the game is canceled this year?
Well, thanks for having me on, guys. I'm really excited to come and share my love of sports along with whatever little information I'd be able to share about the company. But the difference in the 10 years that I have on this earth over you, Michael, was 10 really successful years of Michigan football. And those days seemingly are behind us in such a way that I think the average Michigan football fan has to ask themselves the question. And I really think what 2020 has crystallized for us as fans when it comes to the decision-making and the questions we have to ask ourselves is it a trend? Is this a sign of, because of what happened and the transfer portal situation that we watched happen, and that's not unique just to U of M, but certainly it drained our depth in a way that maybe other programs were able to recover from when they're elite and we were too precarious in our talent at that moment to be able to do that. And now you're seeing it on the field. But what it makes me worry about is we've got a boatload of really high level recruits who are about to make a decision about our program, and this is the last memory they're going to have before they're supposed to make their choice. And that's what really has me. So I don't even think it's a today problem. I think it's a today and a future problem, and it's got me really worried.
God, you know, Roger, I think that's some great insight that I hadn't even thought about. But You know, you're already being – Michigan's already being negatively recruited against for the product on the field, 2-4 this season. You're being negatively recruited against because you haven't developed players, certainly at the quarterback position. You're being negatively recruited against because Jim Harbaugh does not at the moment have a contract extension, and so nobody knows if he's the coach of the future or not. And now the final memory before signing day next Wednesday is that Michigan is not playing the Michigan-Ohio State game. And to your point, Justin, about Kirk Herbstreit, and I was talking to the Drew and Mike podcast earlier about this, is whether that was a completely out-of-bounds, you know, BS comment for Herbstreit to make or not, it was the first shot across the bow. And for 12 hours, that was the conversation, is Michigan ducking Ohio State. And as all of us know, and Roger, you know this from so many years of promotion and marketing, the whole thing, that first impression is so hard to overcome. And the impression out there, and it's, I think it's unfair, but the impression out there is that Michigan went out of its way to avoid the game against Ohio State. And if you're a recruit and you've got, you know, another coach calling you up and being like, well, you know, you can go play for Michigan, but they're not even going out of their way. They're not doing what they need to, Ohio State. They're not doing what they need to play their rival. Is that where you want to be? I mean, that is hard stuff to overcome in terms of the impressions out there, guys.
Especially when you are trying to already fight an uphill battle against a brand that has proven that it can reliably produce first round draft picks that get paid millions of dollars. And we have no one that we can point to beyond a few defensive players that have been able to break through and a couple offensive linemen. But you look at like this, the really high profile skill positions, we just don't have a track record in the last decade of being able to say reliably that you can parlay your years at Michigan into a successful pro football career.
Yeah. Absolutely. Now maybe Nico Collins changes that a little bit, Justin, but yeah, they don't have the wide receivers, the running backs, and certainly not the quarterbacks that in the NFL that the high level recruits really want to follow in their footsteps.
Yeah. And that's been the difference, I think, that, you know, in the talent level. And so when it comes down to recruiting, I just think that now Michigan has put itself into a really bad spot in recruiting. And that's not just with the way this season has gone and everything else, but it's put itself with the way that it's handled Jim Harbaugh and in the contract, it's put itself into an even deeper hole. And so I think it's an overall mismanagement by the program, by the administration and everybody that, you know, Mike, you said it the other day, don't turn a one-day story into a two-day story. Well, now we're on what? Hour 72 of all these rumors and beyond, and Ward Manuel is coming out and saying that they're still not going to have a conversation between himself and Harbaugh until after signing day. So when you're talking about the recruiting, when you're talking about negative and positive recruiting and all this stuff, it just seems like there is so much, you know, behind the scenes that's going on that's being mishandled. And it's not putting Michigan in a position to win. So now I'm looking at it as whether it's Jim Harbaugh or somebody else, Michigan's already behind the eight ball for 2021 and beyond as well. So it's you're already, like you said, in a tough position, and you're going, it's an uphill battle, but you're not helping yourself out in any manner as well to make that uphill battle any easier for yourself.
Yeah. And I certainly want to talk about that, because I think the press conference with Ward Manuel and Jim Harbaugh today was extremely interesting from what was said and certainly what wasn't said. And we'll talk about that in just a few minutes. But I do, Roger, as I said, we have a relationship dating back for I think 5 or 6 years now, have worked together in the past. Roger's been a successful entrepreneur at multiple stops. And Roger, what I really appreciate is you're always thinking about business ideas that, you know, not necessarily from like a self-serving, like how is this going to benefit me, but how is this going to benefit my community? How is this going to help businesses be successful. And, you know, I was watching the video earlier from your site, your new company. So tell us more about it and tell us how it certainly does have a positive impact on its community.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. I appreciate that. So, you know, I've been in sales exactly 25 years. So my sales career predates the internet and is old enough to drink and frequently is the first one at the bar waiting for me when I get there, especially in the COVID year and what we've been faced with. But, you know, I would say that, you know, at its very basic, any person responsible for the sales line for their organization has to justify whatever premium you charge over the low-cost provider in your market, right? And so everybody can't be the low-cost provider. So for those of us who are choosing another path, what we've got to do is come up with something that I can use to justify the delta in cost that you're going to have to spend with me in order to do what it is that you do with us, which is by and large the purchase of branded merchandise for your company. And people buy those things for a multitude of reasons that I won't bore everybody with, but I'm sure those of you out there in listener land who are responsible for a business somewhere in your building or maybe even in your house now because of shelter in place, you've got a closet worth of things that you bought online full of your logos that you've not been able to give away because for one reason or another, it wasn't necessarily the most effective use of your investment. And that largely has to do with bringing somebody like me into the equation to be able to ask you a set of questions, not too dissimilar than what a trainer would ask you when you go to the gym. You know, like, what are you trying to accomplish? What resources do you have to devote to this objective? And how much time do you want to do it for? And then we, you know, as any good consultant does, we come back with solutions. But unlike most organizations that you could do this with that would be considered competitors of mine, when I'm coming to talk to you, before we get into the specific solution that you're trying to solve, what our business is really trying to understand is what is it that your organization really cares about? What are the things that you've been able to identify in yourself if you're a solopreneur or amongst the team if you have employees of the organizations that are things that all of you have a passion for that's beyond just what the business does, right? So for instance, there are organizations that will choose a nonprofit and at Christmas will either support that nonprofit or maybe even adopt a family and buy them gifts and try to bring some semblance of joy to their day in this holiday season. Well, our business is completely constructed to allow you to be able to do that with each of your branded merchandise purchases with your company logo on them. So if I can figure out what it is that your organization cares about, once I figure out what it is that you're trying to solve from a problem set, when I bring solutions to bear, usually the products that I'm going to offer you have some tie to the cause that your organization cares about so that when you're handing out the product, for whatever reason you're handing it out, it's not just the thing that you're giving them. And remember, the promotional marketing advertising medium is still the only one that most people say thank you for. Most people don't say thank you for a television advertisement or a pop-up ad or a billboard commercial. They're trying to block all of those things. But what we sell are things that people actually thank you for. And then when you explain to them not only that you were giving them this thing, but the reasoning behind why the company chose that and the way that that purchase then somehow activates something good in the community should create some positive mental correlation in the mind of the recipient. And if you remember, I'm not selling it to the recipient, I'm selling it to the person who's intending on giving it away. So in reality, what I'm doing is I'm arming you not with just a high quality product that you can go give to someone that they're probably gonna keep for a long time, but every time they see that thing, if you've done a good job of telling the story behind why you chose it, they're gonna see that thing, they're gonna automatically get that release of dopamine, that feel good that they get knowing that them getting that product somehow benefited the cause that both them and you care about.
So Roger, any business out there, yes, they have passion projects, they have causes that they care about. And I think so often what makes the difference in a sale is when, let's face it, there's certain products that we all need, but do you want to buy a product from someone that, just you just get the product, or you want to buy a product from someone who, as you said, is invested in the community, who you think is a good person. I would rather, if I have two competing companies, I'd rather buy from the company that I think is makes a difference, cares about people, and are good people and I have a good relationship with, than the company I don't. I mean, that's simple humanity. If you show that you care, I'm going to go with that one over the other one every time.
Yeah, and granted, and I love the way that you so succinctly were able to boil that down. The beautiful part about it, Mike, is on top of that, like if you make that choice to do an order with me and I don't do it well, the likelihood that you come back and say, hey, that was a good experience and I feel good about what I did, so let's keep doing that, is going to be diminished. So we still have to be good at what we do, and we'd like to think that we've got the chops there, because we've, you know, the years that we've spent in the industry and the investments that we've made in the knowledge that we have to be able to bring this whole solution set to bear. But really, we go even one step further. So even if there's nothing from a cause perspective that you feel like you want to buy something because it's supporting a specific cause for one reason or another, we actually at Social Good Promotions, we give away a quarter of every profit dollar that we create in the form of pro bono marketing services work for nonprofits. So in a season when the nonprofit community has really been stressed, and secondarily, because the nonprofit community so heavily relies on in-person events to get donor dollars, they've really been negatively impacted twice. And so we've spent a tremendous amount of time this year working with the nonprofits in Livingston and Washtenaw County to help them develop programs that are going to help them transition away from the universal annual one-time shake all the money out of your pockets event to something more subscription-based and entertaining and recurring that allows people who want to support an organization and its efforts to be able to do that in a more intimate kind of way. And it's because I'm successful in the for-profit community getting new business from people that I'm able to continue to fund that work. So even if there's nothing from a product perspective that you can get behind, you can at least feel good knowing that your purchase that you made with us is gonna somehow benefit the community in some meaningful kind of way. And we've got really great examples of ways that we've already done that in just the couple of years that we've been in business. So, you know, we're walking the walk and talking the talk and showing our work so that people can have the confidence that we're not just selling them a bill of goods.
Well, Roger Burnett, you can find him on LinkedIn. You can go to socialgoodpromotions.com for more information. Check out their trailer and their testimonials and all the good that they do in the community. Roger, delighted to bring you to the podcast. Appreciate your friendship over the last few years. And I think that I think your friendship speaks literally to your point here. Because I know you and because I respect you and I know the way that you do business, I'm going to reach out to you before I reach out to the other marketing company, the other promotions company, because you do it the right way. And that's exactly what you're selling to your clients and to what you're offering to nonprofits, is you're going to do it the right way, and that's going to help their business down the road.
Couldn't have said it better myself, friend. Thank you. I'll be asking for that edit of that little paragraph so I can use that for my marketing.
Happy to help. So Justin, on our Monday podcast, you and I talked a lot about transparency and a lot about, this is a conversation piece that we've now discussed ad nauseum for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, this lack of a confirmed message, this lack of an announcement on Jim Harbaugh's future. You're leaving him dangling in the wind. And so here it was Tuesday. Michigan originally had a press conference scheduled for players and coaches to talk to the media. Then they came back and they canceled that. Then they rescheduled it. Then they announced that the game was off and only Ward Manuel and Jim Harbaugh and one of their chief medical officer would address the media. Well, Justin, you know how this works and I know how this works. While there's maybe a few questions about the game, everybody on that call wants to know about Jim Harbaugh's future. And if you're not prepared to answer those questions, then honestly, don't have a press conference. Mm-hmm. Because otherwise you're going to come across as hollow and insincere to just simply say what Ward Manuel did say over and over again was, this is not the time and place. This is not the forum. Ward, BS. It's exactly the forum. You're a week, I guess, 8 days as we're recording this podcast away from signing day. Okay? You're done with your regular season now. When is the time to talk about Jim Harbaugh's future? When is the time to address the elephant in the room that he is the only, what, Power 5 conference or Power 5 coach in all of college football that doesn't have a contract that extends beyond the 2021 season? When is the time to address that? When is the time to put that to bed and tell the recruits publicly that Jim Harbaugh is our guy? And the only reason that you're not going to do that, Justin, is because you're not ready to make a commitment to Jim Harbaugh. And if you're not ready to make a commitment to Jim Harbaugh, then why the hell should 20, 21, 25 young men make a commitment to Jim Harbaugh if you yourself, as your athletic director, aren't willing to make a commitment to Jim Harbaugh? That's the question I would ask you. Why should the fans, why should the media, why should anybody, why should big donors be willing to make a commitment to the program when you don't have answers for anybody? And so it is utterly ridiculous for Ward Manuel to get in front of the media and say, this is not the forum, this is not the time, this is not the place to address Jim Harbaugh's future. When is the time, Ward, if you're just leaving everybody out there flailing in the wind, having no idea, you know, 25 young men that are supposed to sign a letter of intent next Wednesday, and you're not even telling them if Jim Harbaugh is their coach of the future? It's just stupid. It's absolutely stupid, and it's neglect. And Ward Manuel, I've had a lot of thoughts on him, but Justin, Ward Manuel is failing in his job if he's not willing to address that in a press conference today.
Well, and the timing is really my question. And that's what you're pointing to as well, because if you're not going to do it now and you're going to wait until after signing day, apparently, what if you listen, if Jim Harbaugh is your guy, you should have signed him yesterday. You should have signed him last week, last month, in March. I just don't understand. If you think he's the guy for the program now, after a 2-4 season, a debacle against Michigan State, just mishandling of the whole situation, of the whole season, really, and at the quarterback position and everything else, if he's still your guy now, why was he not your guy in March or in the summer or at the end of last season? Why was he not offered an extension then? That's what I don't understand. Because if he somehow made it through all the shit that is this 2020 Michigan football season, then why is he, you know, then why was he not that guy before? So that's where, if he really truly is going to, you know, get this extension and take it or whatever, whatever the actual details of it all are, that's where I don't understand it. But I completely agree with you. It's not, these are tough decisions. That's no doubt, right? You have a situation where the conundrum of Jim Harbaugh is that he has won 10 games, 3 out of his 6 years here, which Michigan has only won 10 games, 7 seasons out of the last, 20. And so he's got 3 of those 7. But he's also lost the wrong games. He's lost to Michigan State 3 different times. He hasn't beat Ohio State. He's also, as you pointed out yesterday on Twitter, lost a ton of games by double digits in the last couple years. So it just doesn't make sense to me. I understand that yes, they're tough decisions, but Ward Manuel has paid millions of dollars to make tough decisions. So you have to get out in front of this and actually make a decision and tell people what's going on. And again, he came out. It was amazing. They finally came out for this press conference that they had put off for 2 days, right? And I saw Brandon Brown tweeted it out too. And he said, I can't believe that they're finally coming out for a press conference, but they're not allowing questions on Jim Harbaugh's contract. So we asked for the transparency for 3 weeks now, at least. We asked for not silence. We asked for something to give us, to point us in some type of direction for the recruiting purposes, the program purposes, coaching purposes, everything else. And they still decide that they're going to wait until after the season is done, which is after the signing day for these kids. And I just, it's not fair. Like you said, it's not fair to any of these kids. You're going to ask, Xavier Worthy, you're going to ask JJ McCarthy, you're going to ask all these stud recruits that they have committed to your program and say, yes, we are asking you to sign with our program for the next 4 years, but we can't give you a definitive answer on who will be your coach when you get onto campus in Ann Arbor.
Yeah, and Justin, the crazy thing too, and what I thought was the gall of Michigan was, throughout this press conference. Now, I didn't watch it live, but I followed all the happenings on Twitter with reporters kind of saying, like, well, this question's been asked, and this is what they responded to it. Is, the reporters kept on trying. They kept on trying to be clever in how they asked it about the future, and over and over again it was just kind of, I don't want to say blowing off the question, but avoiding the right answer, and at the very end Angelique said something about it being a very unique situation, and don't you think like it's hurting recruiting? And Ward Manuel made a comment about, well, we always have to deal with negative recruiting, that's never going to change. And it's like, are you out of your mind? Like, are you kidding me? You're going to complain about negative recruiting when you've essentially invited negative recruiting for the last 6 months by not shoring up this guy's contract for future seasons? Like, the reason you're getting negatively recruited against Ward is not – yeah, sure, it's the 2-4 season. Sure, it's the development of players. But it is because of the fact that every coach out there can be like, this guy's not your coach after 2021. This guy's not your coach after 2020, because you have yourself not said he's the coach after 2021. So for you to have the gall, the arrogance to talk about how you're getting negatively recruited against when it's your own damn fault, like, give me a break. No one is feeling sorry for you if you've invited all of this yourself and then you want to go out there and play the victim. BS. No way. I'm not having any part of that, Jonathan.
No, I completely agree with you. There isn't another program out there right now that is giving themselves up like this, making themselves vulnerable to that negative recruiting in this type of manner. So yeah, you can say that. He's very correct in the fact that negative recruiting is always happening, right? 100%. And people are going to negative recruit Michigan because they can't beat Ohio State, can't produce a quarterback, can't do all this stuff. But you're just giving more and more and more opportunities for other teams to come in and negatively recruit. And so when you're inviting that stuff, you can't then, play the victim. It's crazy. It's just unbelievable to me, how we've been kind of lacking for words and lacking for understanding and how to explain this whole situation for the last 3 weeks. And then they finally come out and we still are just at an utter, we just utter disbelief at to how they're managing this entire situation. And so it seems like, I don't even know what's going on behind the scenes. Like it's crazy talk. And now if you're going to wait for another, 10 plus days to make an announcement about Jim Harbaugh, that is 10 plus days that the rumors are going to be flying around. Every single media person is going to be checking their sources, like you said the other day, and they're going to be asking, what's this? And people are going to tweet out every new development of it that may or not be true. And then the negative recruiting is just going to keep snowballing forever, forever and ever and ever. Yeah. And the way that signing day works these days is guys flip sometimes on signing day. Obviously, we have seen it at Michigan with Mike Weber flipping to Ohio State and, you know, Najee Harris maybe flipping to Michigan and end up going to Alabama. We've seen it all over the place. So if we get to that point and we have 10 more days of Jim Harbaugh rumors and nobody knows a damn thing of solidity and nobody knows what's actually going to happen, then how many of these guys are going to be possibly flipping or thinking about it come signing day?
Yeah, I mean, I'll be really curious to see how many recruits they lose between now and signing day, if they end up losing recruits or not. I'll be curious after the season ends, you know, do they lose players? How many players do they lose to the transfer portal? I'll be curious how many players leave early for the NFL, things of that nature. I just think that Michigan's in a bad place. They're in a bad place. The administration is not helping. You know, Ward Manuel is not helping anybody. And it's, the fans are frustrated. The fans are up in arms. The media is constantly asking questions. And the media, as you said, and we talked about on the podcast on Monday, is tripping all over themselves to have the scoop. They're refuting each other. You know, John Jansen's refuting Chris Ballas. Chris Ballas is refuting Brandon Brown. Brandon Brown's refuting everybody. I mean, everybody is now saying, like, well, my source is the right one, your source is wrong. All this different stuff is going on. It's just, the whole thing is ugly. And all it does for me, Justin, is it takes me back to December, I think, 30th, 2014, the day that Jim Harbaugh was hired as the head coach at University of Michigan. And I just keep on saying to myself, how are we here as Michigan fans? How is Michigan here as a program that all the promise, all the hope, all the anticipation, all the promise, all the, you know, what could have been, and yet we're in this quagmire. It's a disaster. It's whatever you want to say, a dumpster fire, a train wreck, or, you know, a sinking ship. All of it just really, really sucks to be here as a Michigan fan. From what we, you know, we never thought we were going to be in this position. And now the game is canceled and there's no Michigan, Ohio State. And will there be, you know, a ninth Big Ten game? I mean, honestly, Justin, and we can talk about that a little bit more on Friday's podcast, but, you know, will there be a ninth Big Ten game? Will Michigan clean themselves up? Will they do the things necessary to bring their COVID cases down in order to be able to practice and in order to be able to play that ninth Big Ten game, or what will be for them their seventh Big Ten game? You know, we don't know the answer to that. And hopefully they will, because I don't want the last game that Michigan played this year to be a loss to Penn State, to set a record for, you know, the first time in program history that they don't win a game at home. I don't want that to be the last game of the Michigan season. And I certainly don't think that the players or coaches want that to be the last game of the season. Some good news, Michigan basketball is going to get a chance to play on Wednesday night against Toledo. That's the game that's a fill-in for NC State. So, Justin, we'll talk about that. We can talk about some Michigan hockey, and we'll talk about some more Michigan football on Friday's podcast. Really want to say thanks to our sponsors, Kaepnick Insurance Group, Wolverine State Brewing Company, Lewis Jewelers, Frankenmuth Insurance, and Weber's Hotel. You know, give them a try. Check them out at all. You know, all just Google all those names. And support small businesses, support local businesses in our community. And Justin, thanks. Appreciate Roger Burnett coming on and talking to us today. A little bit of a shorter episode. I'm just getting home and I've got food in the car, carry out food that I got from Weber's Hotel, and all my family is sitting here waiting for me to get inside to feed them.
All right. Yeah. You better get in there then. I think that is, you know, cause for to end the episode. So thank you for all for listening. You can follow us at Stadium Main Pod on Twitter, at Justin Rowe 92 and at Michael Spath ITH as well for all of your Michigan coverage. Thanks for following. Thanks for listening and all. And we will have some more insight on all of what we talked about today, the craziness of it all, hopefully some more developments as well, and then some more positives, like you said, about Michigan basketball and hockey, because as Roger said, maybe we're a basketball school. Maybe Michigan is a basketball school. So you never know. So we'll talk more about that later on this week. Thanks for listening. We'll see you later.
This is the Stadium and Main podcast, presented by Kapnick Insurance Group, Wolverine State Brewing Company, and Lewis Jewelers.